Welcome into the second hour of today's 9 till noon show. I do hope you are all very well. Letterkenny Memories, I want to let you know, is taking place tonight in the Station House Hotel. All are welcome and light refreshments are being served. Well worth getting along there. I'm told it's a lovely night. Good morning, Greg. Remember the hullabaloo we had about the Ukrainian children taken by Russia to keep them safe? Our government never shut up about it, but yet we have crickets when those children were kidnapped from school in Nigeria. I haven't seen the official government stance in relation to that, which also tells me that I haven't seen outrage from the government either. This is what we're heading for here, pushing our Christianity out of schools, hospitals and all public buildings. I listened to a thing on RTE. And there were two children who felt left out, so they wanted to punish the 26 to suit the two. If the school has a Christian ethos, send your children elsewhere. It's time people started making noise. Well, there's a big survey now to find out exactly what parents want for their children, and teachers are being consulted as well. I kind of, in terms of the teaching of religion in school, I kind of flip-flop a little bit on it. Like, sometimes I think, well, is it really up to the teacher? Should the teacher be doing that? Is that up to us to do that at home? You know, have none of that in the school at all. And then I think, well, obviously, you know, if your kids are Catholic, Christian, whatever it might be, or whatever religion they are, is it better that they're schooled sort of with that ethos in mind? I flip-flop on it a little bit myself, to be honest with you. Right, before we take a break, we are going to, or I want to let you know about the chance for you to win a car this Christmas, and it's for the new year. It's a beautiful car. It's a Renault Symbios Techno. We're going to have it out and about for you to have a look at in the not-too-distant future. It's worth over €35,000, and you could win it for as little as a tenner. Okay, so this is a beautiful car, full tech, beautiful interior, lovely exterior, great designing, and it's all set to go for 26261. And it couldn't be easier for you to enter if you want to be in a chance in with a chance to win this car. Just go onto our website, highlandradio.com, and you can grab a ticket for €15. Or if you want to buy five, you can get them for a tenner each, so you can do that yourself and keep them all for yourself, or put other people's names on them if you want to give them a gift, because this draw is right just before Christmas, so it still counts as a Christmas prezzy as well. So five tickets for 50, one ticket for 15. Obviously, only enter if you can do so comfortably within your means, of course. Once you buy your ticket, we'll email you straight out, and that's you. That's you in. And there will be other draws coming up, right? I think the wallet's being opened a little bit, and we can expect some cash incentives, shall we say. I'm not sure how formally that's been announced yet, but I have my strong sources suggesting there'll be extra goodies if a €35,000 plus car wasn't enough for you. So if you want to be in a draw, or in the draw for that car and all the other prizes that are likely to be added, get your tickets now nice and early. One for 15, five for 50. It could be you. Invariably, which I think is fantastic, although I don't want to sound too sort of parochial, invariably these cash prizes and these cars, they all head to people locally here. This is our draw, right? You know, there's lots of draws out there, I'm sure, and people from Monaghan are winning, and people from Cavan are winning, and people from Brighton are winning. Well, this is for you, and primarily it is people from this area entering and winning, which means your chances are much greater as well compared to those massive draws. So a ticket for 15, five for 50. If you want to give us a ring here at the radio station, 07491 25000, we can sort you out over the phone if you don't want to use the website, but you can ring us now. We can do that for you. Or indeed, you can call into the station and buy them if you want to use cash. So you could be getting a call on this show on the 23rd of December, just 2 days before the big guy arrives. And we could be the big guy for that day, giving you a car worth over 35 grand. And between now and then, there'll be little other prizes. Not so little, by the way. You know the story, as I say. I'm not sure how much I can say about that now, because I was emailed something, but I'm not sure if it's for public consumption yet. But suffice to say, it's not just the car. So get in early, put your feet up, and wait for those draws. Now, earlier this year, I was delighted to be involved in the Donegal Youth Awards. You'll remember Grania and her colleagues plugging it, and there was a fantastic level of nominations of amazing young people from right across this county, from the islands to the very southern tip and everywhere in between. And we had a lovely night in the Abbey Hotel, sponsored by Supermax, wasn't it? Whereby they received their certs and special recognition. And amongst those who received a special recognition in her own county was Rhianna Reynolds, who's a sixth-year Clastra Colum Kill student in Ballyshannon, and she's with me now. How are you getting on?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Long intro, wasn't it? And Rhianna was down the country at the weekend and also picked up a National Garda Youth Award. Now, I just want to mention another recipient. That was, where is it? I don't think you've given me the wrong sheet here. It was Paddy. No, that's the wrong sheet. Where is it? Ah, no, don't have it. I'll come back to Paddy anyway. He was involved in a very brave rescue of a person at sea who came to peril off the coast of the island and was on standby to make sure they were safely rescued. Rhianna, you are founder of Rhianna's Regulation Resolution. What is this?
So it's basically a set of keychains that help people self-regulate. It's mainly for people with ADHD, but it's kind of everyone who struggles to kind of express their emotions or how they feel. And they have a different selection of zones that you can flick through and read about, and it can help you self-regulate.
You were diagnosed quite young, weren't you, with, as they're called, behavioural conditions. Talk to me about those.
So I don't really like calling it behavioural conditions because it's...
I've never seen those two words together until I just read it in front of me, to be honest.
It's not really a behavioural condition. It's more of something that you're born with, and it can really, I like to call it a superpower because it can be a superpower once you know how to use it. But it does come with its struggles, obviously, like everything. But really, once you know how to use it, you know, it can be used to your advantage and as a superpower. But I was diagnosed with ADHD at quite a young age. I would have been in primary school, so quite young.
Yeah. And I suppose that your family would have been aware. Were you aware that your school experience was different from your peers?
Not really, not up until kind of when I went into secondary school. It kind of started to hit me then when I was looking around and thinking, you know, I'm not learning the same as other people, and I'm thinking differently and, you know, acting differently, and I didn't really understand it. And then that's kind of when I started to research ADHD and, you know, trying to learn about myself and, you know, what can help me.
And how did it impact on your primary education, Rhianna?
Well, I used to get into quite a bit of hassle and quite a bit of trouble as well, you know, just mainly for the fact that I didn't know how to ask for the help that I needed, and I didn't really know how to just function in a regular school setting. It was quite difficult for me, so getting my ADHD diagnosis actually helped me a lot.
And how would you, is it concentration? How does ADHD, I suppose if you don't mind, just from when you were younger, and then we'll talk about it now, but when you were younger, sort of in that school system, how did ADHD impact you?
Well, a lot of it would have been the focus as well, but it's not just focus, it's, you know, getting your work done in a certain manner, being able to listen to things in a certain way, and then it's learning differently as well. Like, I'd pick up things a lot differently to other people. I learn differently.
So do you need things to be slower, quicker?
Yeah, I can't read very long paragraphs. It's quite difficult for me. Everything, you know, short and straight to the point.
So you love Twitter?
Yeah.
And do you zone out? So you go like three lines, because I'm a bit like this, right? So you get three or four lines in and you go, I ain't reading all that.
Yeah.
Not literally, but there's a...
I can sit and read it, but I'll not be taking it in. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. And say, for instance, I'm watching a film.
I need subtitles.
Yeah, to be interested.
To be interested and keep me focused on what's happening, because a lot of the time I could be sitting talking to somebody, I mightn't be taking it in at all because you just go to a different land.
Mm. You know? And do you find yourself thinking of something else, or you go, right, I need to move on from this now?
Bit of both. It depends what you're talking about.
Mm. What about now?
Quite interested now, don't worry.
Yeah, no, I get you. And personality-wise, would your ADHD give you a different personality? See, what is a personality? So
everyone, I think, has a different personality, but I'm more willing to take more risks, and, you know, that's kind of how I was getting in trouble, because what other people wouldn't do, I would, you know, just for the hit of dopamine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of mainly where the whole getting in trouble thing comes from, is constantly trying to chase the dopamine.
And so you could find you swinging off from the top of a tree or jumping off a bridge or anything like that, right?
That's it.
And is there a regulation thing there, something that doesn't hold you back, or it's just a case that you go, right, you know what, for the buzz, I'm prepared to do this?
Yeah, and it's just the whole fact of, you know, thinking too quickly and acting too quickly, because obviously I don't think as slowly as other people. I move at a bit of a quicker pace, you know, than other people. So when other people think, should I do this? They kind of stop and say, no, probably shouldn't do that. But for me, it's kind of like, sure.
Yeah, but like your brain just works a different way.
Yeah,
right.
It's wired differently.
Yeah. So, but what? Who's to say? You know, who's to say that yours isn't working the better way? Do you know what I mean? Like, we often sort of see ADHD. I know you describe it as a superpower, as you say, as some sort of a disadvantage. But maybe we're just not good enough yet at harnessing the advantages. And what is the baseline of what is, in inverted commas, normal? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just that your brain works differently. And it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That education and other aspects of life, you just approach it in a different way, or life approaches you in a different way.
Because I don't think that education is set up for people with ADHD and people that could be a little bit different than, you know, what you'd call the norm. So I think that's why there's a lot of struggle there. But this could be a bit controversial, but I do think that people with ADHD can do things a wee bit better once they know how to do it.
Yeah.
So I do believe that
it is
traits, a superpower.
I mean, there's traits that if you can get focused in a certain way or on a certain, you can go at it in a different way, more efficiently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just a different type of a different type of a brain. So why was the big change from primary school to secondary school, do you think? What happened there? Is it the fact that that's just you know, maybe it's there's far more children, far more young people, or what? Why did sort of things begin to land in secondary school for you?
It was just, there was a lot more going on. You know, you change classes. The minute you get to secondary school, there's a lot more people that you kind of have to try and work around and, you know, figure out. And then with that, it also comes a lot more work. And, you know, as soon as you walk in the doors, the pressure's on as you're leaving certs in 6 years. You know, it's time to get moving. Even now, everyone's trying to put the pressure on. But that doesn't really work for me, because I do work very well under pressure. But when someone just keeps nabbing at it, I kind of shut down and I'm not fit to do it. And I think that's kind of what the big change was. And, you know, they're a lot more serious in secondary school. Like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, that kind of thing. And you just, you're in your preteen stage as well. Like, I think everybody turns into, you know, bit of a dose once you get to that age. But
you also, it's so specific though, isn't it? Because you could have a classmate with ADHD who would prosper differently.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Everyone is different, especially with ADHD. You know, you have different kinds of ADHD. You can be hyperactive and whatnot, but it's just really knowing how to control that and, you know, moving forward. Like, I can work a lot differently than other people.
Yeah, but you're complicated, right, Rihanna?
Complicated.
Yeah, because, like, I have to keep the pressure on you.
Yeah.
That's good. You like the pressure, right? But if I keep it on too much, you just switch off.
Yeah.
So it's getting the sweet spot.
You need to find the middle ground. That's kind of what my cards are for. You know, you have all your different zones, and then
can I have a look at that? If you could hand it over to me whilst I'm listening to you, right? So are these for you? These cards that you've created, Rihanna's regulation resolutions, are these for the person with ADHD?
Yeah, and not just people with ADHD. They're kind of for everybody. I'm in hopes of making ones for people that maybe struggle with autism and, you know, all different kind of disorders. But it's just a way, because there isn't really anything else like it. Like, when I was diagnosed with ADHD, going through second or third year, I started investigating it a lot more and, you know, seeing what could help me. And there isn't really anything. I was told by a lot of people that they were using different coloured pens to try and work it. And I'm just like, we've had this problem for years. Why has it taken me to do something about it, you know?
So the first one here is no zone. Is this when I'm putting too much pressure on you and you just disengage and you go, like,
this is kind of when I shut down.
Yeah.
Don't speak to me. So when you open it, then it'll show you how to identify which zone you're in and then, you know, what you can do about it. And then
So if you go into the no zone, right, there's four options here: panicked, angry, scared, out of control. So is the idea that you read these, it sort of brings you into the moment and you're going, right, actually, I'm angry here.
Yeah.
So you might, up until this point, feel like you're feeling, but you're not necessarily able to say specifically what you're feeling.
Yeah, so in that zone especially, that's a really good example of it, is when I am in that zone, I can't speak to you and I can't really tell you how I'm feeling. I find it really difficult. And then a really big part of my business as well is the one that says, what can the people around you do? Because they kind of make the biggest impact a lot of the time. It's the people around you that have you in that zone.
But it's common sense stuff, right? And as I say, you know, this is designed for people with ADHD, but I think you referenced that anyone could benefit from this.
Yeah.
So if you feel in that situation, why are you feeling like that? And also, what can you do? Remove yourself from the situation, exercise, talk to someone you trust, find a safe space, apply pressure to your hands. So, I mean, that's logical. Fizzy. Yeah. What's a fizzy zone?
Fizzy zone is kind of like if you ever have a bottle of Coke and you shake it too many times, the lid is going to fly off. I think that's a really good way of explaining it.
But it's also some of those emotions can be, this is the fight or flight, right? Which it's more difficult then for you to determine, am I happy, am I scared, am I excited, am I nervous?
Too much going on. And then with that, that's kind of the dopamine hit stage where you've just had a big rush of something.
Yeah.
And eventually when that slows down, you know, you're going to crash, or you're going to either end up the no zone or the blue zone. Could go either which way, or you could go to green, you don't know.
I love the way, right, you go from red to blue or blue to whatever.
Doesn't matter,
it might be.
Go anyway.
So, yeah, okay, I get where you're coming from. The blue zone is sad, withdrawn, bored or unwell. The go zone, which is quite interesting too. Happy, positive, focused and calm. So do you find that with this little thing, and you can carry it with you all of the time, Rihanna, do you find then that you learn more about yourself, that you become less reliant on this? Or is your ADHD such that you really will always need this until such time as you don't, as a reference point?
It's kind of mainly as like a tool of and a distraction. Mm. That's kind of the way I like to look at it, is it's a really good distraction to sit down. And the more you think about it and think about how you're acting and realising, okay, I'm in this certain mood and I'm acting this way, and then realising, okay, I shouldn't be acting like this, and, you know, how can I move forward from that? It is a big help. And even with the fidget you have on the side of it as well, it's really good as a distraction.
Do you know what I like about it as well, Rihanna? It's that you're taking control of it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
This is something I can control.
This is me. This is what I'm feeling. Rather than, you know, we can all, whether anyone has a ADHD or not, or whatever, you know, we always can externalize it and look to blame other people. Now, obviously, everything that happens around us influences us.
Yeah.
But this is about saying, well, this is me. This is how I feel. This is the way I'm wired. What can I do now in this moment? Which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, to be honest with you. And I think everybody can take a little bit more sort of responsibility for the in the now.
Yeah.
You know, do you find your family then are going sort of, is she going to go green or blue on this one?
Yeah. I've used the red card a good few times. Good few times now.
Of those that have had access to this, Rihanna, like, what's the age range from? Because this sounds to me like, you know, as young, no matter how young you are, as long as you have an understanding of what is on the card, then you would benefit from it. And I think maybe the earlier you were at it, the better.
Yeah, I think kind of what I'd like for this is that it be implemented, say, as far back as primary school, you know, so you get a feel for things. Because even if a child can't read, there's pictures and indications on what it means. And I think the bright colours as well, you know, it's a really good distraction. And, you know, you can kind of figure out which zone's which just based off the colours as well, even if you can't read. And then even if a child is non-verbal as well, I think it would be a really good help, because obviously they can't express how they're feeling. So,
yeah, so they could actually demonstrate to mom, say, for example, if they're nonverbal, I'm feeling blue or I'm feeling green. Or I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, I really do, because it gives people control, but also gives people a way to express.
Yeah, but I've been told as well that they'd be working very well in, say, meetings. Do you know if you've ever been in a big meeting? It gets very stressful, and everyone kind of gets overwhelmed and overdone. And I've been told that it'd be a really good tool to use to kind of be like, we need to lay off this now.
It kind of feels a little bit like another version of Counting to Ten or whatever it might be. There's a million ways you can look about it. When they were talking about you at the awards, they were talking about your improved decision-making and problem-solving skills. Is that something that you have learned, or is that part of your brain that you've been able to access better?
I think more of kind of part of my brain that I've been able to access better, just knowing how to control my brain and how to think a certain way, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's why I asked. And what does it feel like getting the, obviously down in the Abbey Hotel, you got your county recognition. What was the weekend like? Was it a nice experience? Do you enjoy that?
I actually didn't get to go to the Abbey Hotel.
Did you not?
No.
Do you know that makes sense? Because I was there. I was hosting it.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of you at the weekend. I've never seen that girl before in my life. And I thought I'd forgotten about you. But no, you weren't there. That's fine.
No, I actually wasn't there. I actually didn't know that I had won it or anything like that until I was in school and a teacher came up to me.
Well done.
And said to me, and was like, I've seen you got an award there. And I was like, do you know if I've had any awards now recently? And then, you know, said to me, it's something about the guards. And then I was like, oh, geez, I've like, no one told me here.
Do you know what? Does that suit your personality a bit too?
How do you?
You know what? It just came and it went. I didn't see it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, well, it is what it is. All right, brilliant. How are you distributing, tell me what you're offering through Rihanna's regulation resolution. Is it these cards? Talk to me about it. Are you on a, because I know there's people going to be listening going, right, this sounds really interesting. Of course they would. So, like, are you selling the cards?
Yeah.
Are you putting up information? So tell me what you're doing now with Rihanna's regulation resolution and what you plan to do into the future.
So right now I'm trying to contact different schools and kind of sell them in bulk to, you know, because it's mainly you kind of need the teachers involved and informed of how it works, because obviously if you were a teacher now and I landed into a classroom and started sticking this up in there, you'd be thinking, what in God's name has she got? But as well, it's if anybody ever wanted support or anything like that, you know, I have different pages that get sent out with the cards and I'm always like willing to offer that support and through, say, Zoom meetings or even going in person to different schools, say for teacher training or anything like that, I'm happy to offer that. And
see, the thing about it, Rihanna, and I know from your experience where you're going with this, right, but like, I believe it or not, remember I've two boys so far that have come through teenage years, and I was a teenager myself. I don't, with or without ADHD or any other condition, you know, sometimes it's really hard to know where you're at, how you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you go off the handle and you wonder, am I being irrational? Is this who I am? You know, but that would ground you. Do you know that sort of a way?
Yeah.
Because you see it written down and you go, well, other teenagers are feeling like this as well. So, like, I think the value of that, just for so inward thinking, reflection, responsibility, I don't see why it should just be for kids with ADHD.
That's why
honestly,
what I try
like,
and
I really
say
it
isn't just for people with ADHD.
No, I don't
the
think
focus,
it is, yeah.
The focus is ADHD. It came from ADHD.
But it's
for everyone. Yeah. Even if, say, you were in a business meeting or anything like that and you wanted to use it and you needed to be like, kid, this is me, I tap out, like I can't do this anymore, or even just figure out where you're at. Like, everyone gets overstimulated and just sometimes needs a few minutes or needs to figure out where they are. So it's for anybody who it'll help, honestly.
And the obvious next step, if you haven't done one already, is an app.
An app, yeah.
No, a really simple honestly. App with the colours that are there and sort of bounce between them and stuff.
Yeah. The thing I like about this, though, is that it is handheld.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's true,
too. You can flick through it and can use whatever.
Okay, brilliant stuff. So, Rihanna's regulation resolution RRR sounds like a pirate laughing, which is great. RRR. People can check you out where?
You can check on my Instagram at Rihanna's Regulations. So you can just. There's a link there as well that you can click on to.
And you're open to any schools contacting you?
Yeah.
As I say, why does it? It can be for whole classes. It'd be really interesting experiment, and I know it would be positive and very useful. You're in transition year now.
No, leaving cert.
Leaving cert. Okay,
yeah.
How's that going for you?
It's going quite well. The pressure's on.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Are you one of those students, Rihanna, that would benefit from longer time for the actual exam?
Yeah. So I'd be getting a private room and kind of just my own setting, and then a reader to help me read through it again.
And you're getting that, yeah?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay.
Because I don't do well with the long paragraphs. Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. And do you know what you want to do next?
Work. Anything that pays. I'm not really a college girl.
Yeah, join the club. Neither was I. So just stop bringing the cash in ASAP.
Yeah, that's
all right,
it.
Good stuff. And it gives you more time to pursue this.
Yeah.
Do you have other ideas as well? Not that I don't want you to reveal them now, but do you see this as, you know, maybe one of a number of things that could help people?
Yeah, one of a number. It's just trying to kind of get this boosted and this out there. And then once I feel like it's kind of holding its own, I want to move on and do, as I said, maybe ones for autism and maybe personalised ones that, you know, you can choose what you want, because obviously everyone's different, you know?
Yeah. I've no doubt you, I think you'll just do whatever you want to do and be very successful at it.
Thank you.
I think that's just inevitable. Just sit where you are before I say goodbye to you, because I want to mention Paddy Boyle. He's a 15-year-old resident of Tory Island. Lovely lad too. I had the pleasure of chatting to him in the Abbey because he turned up. He saved the life of a man who was fishing boat capsized. And while heading out to feed sheep, Paddy heard shouting from the cliffs. He phoned his father to launch the rigid inflatable boat after hearing calls for help. Knowing that the Belfast Coast Guard had been alerted, Paddy ran towards the sound, which had stopped, and saw the fisherman clinging to the rocks. Risking his own safety, Paddy descended the steep, grassy cliff, pulled the fisherman halfway up and remained with him, and two crew members arrived with a boat to assist. This extraordinary act has boosted community morale and reminded everyone that age is no barrier to making a difference. And he's a big, strong lad too, even though he's just 15, so I could see how he could have pulled that man to safety. And fair play to Paddy, and fair play to Rihanna Reynolds from Ballyshannon. Thanks so much for joining us, Rihanna. Anything else that you like to do outside of school? Do you play music, sports, whatever, anything like that? Or just...
Can you just do a bit of everything?
Just a bit of everything. That's the way to keep it. Listen, thanks so much for calling up to see us. It's been lovely, and we've had a wonderful reaction to what you've had to say. So we really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's been our pleasure. That's Rihanna Reynolds from Ballyshannon. Honoured at the weekend at the Garda Youth Awards. So it comes and it goes, the conversation about assisted dying here in the Republic of Ireland. But it seems the direction of traffic is that at some point in the future, it certainly will become an option. Claire O'Dea is Irish author, Before the Leaves Fall, who's speaking to us from Switzerland, where assisted dying is, I suppose, almost normalised there. Claire, in the first instance, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
And you're watching on as the conversation rages on in your home country, and you're able, sort of, I suppose, to reflect how it's affected attitudes in Switzerland.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you say my home country, I have two home countries now because I've been in Switzerland for two decades. And I would never be judgmental or anything about people who make this choice. You know, I would feel nothing but compassion for them. But the approach in Switzerland is extremely different to what's being envisaged in Ireland. And that contrast is kind of, you know, jarring, because I'm looking at both sides of it, I suppose. But yeah, in Switzerland, it really has become, it's gone from being something very unique and you know, really, really marginal for a small number of people, to being kind of very much a normal part of the conversation and about what might happen at the end of your life. And we're now at the stage where between 2-3% of all deaths in Switzerland are cases of assisted suicide.
The thing that I find interesting about the Irish conversation, Claire, is that I don't know who's driving it or who's calling for it. Now, I don't know if I'm for or against, you know what I mean? I'd really need to sort of reflect on that. But obviously there's been a couple of high-profile cases and very strong emotional arguments, and you can sort of see the logic to where they're coming from. But in terms of, you know, the way it's been progressed through the Dáil and not so long ago, a 96-page report calling on the government mm-hmm. to legalise assisted dying in certain circumstances was voted in favour of. But I don't see this as a grassroots conversation. Do you understand? I don't know where this drive for assisted dying in Ireland is coming from.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question because it's not only Ireland, you see. It is like there's at the moment like 6 or 7 European countries who are all at somewhere along the line of debating it or introducing legislation like Ireland. And I suppose it has come from the fact that it does happen, you know, and people do it and they... you know, they travel more likely, you know, to the liberal countries like Switzerland and, you know, including Irish people. And those cases do come across as being very tragic. So there's kind of like a feeling of compassion for those people. And also, should we not be looking after our own kind of thing? So I think that's where it comes from. Not that I know, like, who's having the conversation or leading the conversation.
Yeah, but I know there was a few leading lights and then people before profit seemed to get involved in it. My concern is this, and as I say, I am just teasing out concerns. A lot of the narrative in Ireland at the moment is older people, you're living in four-bedroomed houses. Young people need those houses. What are you doing? We can't afford the pension because... you know, the population is getting older and the young population is getting smaller and you're the hospitals are clogged up because people are living longer and they've got respiratory illnesses and there's other stuff as well in there. And then this becomes part of the narrative. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm 75 and I'm listening to this and I'm in reasonable health, like, am I going to start feeling like a burden? Am I already feeling like a burden? Are they giving me an opt-out? Is that why this is being pushed on? Or is it for, God forbid, a 38-year-old person who gets MS and or some other condition and wants control over how they leave this planet? You know, what is the... I want to get down to the what is the real conversation that's actually happening. Who is it for? Why is it... Why are we doing it? Does that make sense, Claire? I know it's only questions, but I struggle with it.
Yeah, I know. I totally see where you're coming from. And those are really legitimate concerns. Like, not that I'm an advocate for anything, you know, I'm just an observer.
No, neither am I,
But I do think with an aging population and an inadequate health system and possibly not enough provision of palliative care and all that, that we have to be really careful that we are not... that there's no, I mean, and actually this is in the recommendations of the Oireachtas Committee report, you know, that there's never any kind of idea of coercion, obviously. But coercion can be very, very subtle and almost unreadable, except to the people who might feel it.
Yet also we have to be very conscious of the fact that what people say, for instance, went to a referendum, what people vote on and what eventually is actually the reality, it can be two very different things, you know, and I'm not conflating issues, but the most recent example, for an example, would have been the abortion referendum and what people voted on and what they felt they were voted on and the type of numbers of people that might seek an abortion. And then, of course, the numbers were much greater than often had been debated, but also too, then the Dáil, without any further interaction from the public, can then amend that or make changes to it or change the guidelines or the weeks or what have you. And that's the thing too with assisted dying. What people might be sold on, for an example, might be a very different thing in 5 or 10 or 15 years' time. And that's one thing people need to be conscious of, I think.
Well, yeah, true. But I do think that if what's happened so far or what's outlined in the draft bill, it's very restrictive, it's very specific, and there's a lot of conditions I see it as being, there's a hell of a lot more groundwork to be done before it can be introduced in terms of what's available in the services and all the safeguards. And that's the problem with the Swiss system, is that it's lacking safeguards and it's kind of self-regulating. But we're not going in that direction.
Yes, not yet, of course, in Ireland.
So I think I'm not too worried about how I think that all the right people are being consulted. Like, that would be my hope anyway.
Yes, I would agree with you, but it seems to march on, even though we have, you know, very eminent people actually even in healthcare that are concerned that the introduction of assisted dying would actually interfere with palliative care and how we provide mm-hmm. care more generally. But this is all conversations we need to have. Could you define, you quoted or you wrote about assisted dying in Switzerland being too easy? You talked of the amount of people that choose that. Can you expand mm-hmm. a little bit more on by what you mean by too easy?
Well, the word easy was in the headline, but I was very careful to avoid that word in my article. But then again, it's probably like a fair enough representation of what I was saying. Yeah, I was basically saying it's a totally different context here, but it is very accessible, and it's the majority of people availing of assisted dying in Switzerland are women in their 80s with two or more health conditions mm. who are not terminally ill, but who are. It is judged subjectively, who are suffering too much in their daily lives with loss of independence and the symptoms of whatever conditions they have, and this is what they, this is where it, yeah, where it's kind of expanding, maybe, I don't know. But I had a very interesting conversation with a palliative care doctor in Switzerland a while ago at a conference about this, and he said that of the people who expressed a wish to die in this way, that his patients who are already going to die at some point, he found that like 9 out of 10 of them dropped that thought once they were reassured of two things. One was a fear of having a bad death, and the other thing was a fear of being a burden. So. Mm. Those are the things that we have that need to guide any kind of system.
Yeah, and, but I think the funny thing, Claire, is in all the conversations we've had and the debates I've heard, those two factors really, I don't recall them propping up, you know, the real world reality of it, or what people might think.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, well, that's... maybe you're more worried than me, because I mean, I when I looked at that report, you know, I thought the recommendations were pretty reassuring to me.
And I'm not trying to convince anyone otherwise. I just know what initially is adopted in the first instance, it can be changed without further public involvement, but also too, it is a big societal change to have something like that on the cards. You know, mm-hmm. and we see huge levels of financial coercion, for an example. We see massive figures, thousands upon thousands of people, older people in nursing homes or even in the family home, that are complaining of physical abuse, financial coercion. And I'm just concerned what's going to be there to protect those people.
Yeah, I totally understand, you know, that worry, and we are talking about our most vulnerable citizens. And yeah, I mean, that's when you say coercion, you know, another thing, and there has been one or two court cases about this in Switzerland, is within couples, you know, where is the protection for people do, there are murders within the homes, mm. you know, sadly and horribly. And what even with elderly couples, you know, there are men who have killed their wives in old age, not necessarily out of the goodness of their hearts, you know. So could there be like a hidden domestic violence aspect to it? I don't know. Like,
what are you trying to escape?
Honest, a philosophical conversation
course,
as well.
I'm sorry I brought you down this route. But in terms of societal attitudes towards older people in Switzerland, do you think... has it had any impact on their value to people, maybe younger people, right? So this is on the cards, you know, one or two or three out of 100 choose to end their lives this way. Do you believe, or can you get a sense of, if it's changed people's attitudes to older people?
My feeling would be no. You know, I think that there are a lot of situations where it's the person, the older person themselves. I mean, we're talking a lot about older people, but there are people who are younger as well, and maybe more severely ill,
yes,
and
yes.
In a worse situation. But say the older people, like, there can be a situation where the children or the grandchildren, you know, aren't really in favor of that decision and are upset by it.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not a straightforward thing. You know, they have to go along with it, and it's a different, totally different way of letting go or saying goodbye to somebody.
Claire,
people by appointment.
People can read your book, Before the Leaves Fall. And the article was published in, where was the article published? In the Irish Independent. So you, I probably
did. It was the Sunday Independent yesterday. By the way, my book is.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, my book is a novel, not non-fiction. After all of this non-fiction talk, it is. No, it's a novel. It's a story.
Okay. Yeah. But I probably didn't do your article justice. I kind of went down a certain path with it. That's my fault. Claire, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much
bye-bye.
For having
Look
me.
Look after yourself.
Bye.
Take care. Claire O'Dea there.